I'm not sure if you've ever heard of the essay Welcome to Holland before, but it was written by a lady called Emily Kingsley in 1987, and it was to describe her experience of raising a child with a disability. And that might sound a strange way to begin a sermon, but hopefully its relevance will become clear just as I read, as you hear it, and as I read some of it now. When you're going to have a baby, it's like planning a fabulous vacation trip to Italy. You buy a bunch of guidebooks and make your wonderful plans. The Colosseum, the Michelangelo David, the gondolas in Venice. You learn some handy phrases in Italian. It's all very exciting. After months of eager anticipation, the day finally arrives. You pack your bags and off you go. Several hours later, the plane lands. The stewardess comes and says, "Welcome to Holland." "Holland, you say? What do you mean, Holland? I've signed up for Italy. I'm supposed to be in Italy. All my life I've dreamt of going to Italy." But there's been a change in the flight plan. They've landed in Holland and there you must stay. They haven't taken you to some horrible, disgusting place. It's just a different place. So you must go out and buy a new guidebook. And you must learn a whole new language. And you'll meet a whole new group of people you would never have met. It's just a different place. Slower paced than Italy, less flashy than Italy, but after you've been there for a while and you catch your breath, you look around and you begin to notice that Holland has windmills, tulips, and Rembrandts. But everyone you know is busy coming and going from Italy, and they're all bragging about what a wonderful time they had there. And for the rest of your life, you will say, "Yes, that's where I was supposed to go. That's what I'd planned." The pain of that will never go away because the loss of that dream is significant. But if you spend your life mourning the fact that you didn't get to Italy, you may never be free to enjoy the very special, lovely things about Holland. I'm not sure if you've heard that before, but I heard it last year and found it actually really extremely relevant to capture the kind of times that we've been living in. But I also wonder if for you, maybe it summarizes some of how your reality at times hasn't always lined up with your expectations. Perhaps in ways you have anticipated and hoped for Italy, but it feels like you've ended up in Holland. And in a way, Jesus' disciples in the aftermath of his resurrection might have felt something similar. They'd witnessed these incredible miracles. They'd had a front row seat to the Savior of the universe, hearing his teaching, seeing him healing, and even joining him on mission. And now Jesus gathers them together and he tells them what's going to happen next. And their expectations, they would have had an expectation of what that might have looked like and been and what would have happened. But actually Jesus begins to tell them that he's going to leave them now. And he's going to put the task of the mission into their hands. They experienced Italy and it might have felt like they were being abandoned in Holland. But what I want us to see today is how Jesus shifted their perspective and gaze, changed their expectations, gave them a powerful companion, and expanded their vision to see how he wanted to lead them wider. Paul read for us Acts chapter 1, and just want to highlight some of the middle verses that he read to remind us that after his suffering, Jesus presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem." We'll think about the importance of that phrase in a minute. "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Last year, I read a children's version of the story of Acts with Noah, our eldest son. The book was called Diary of a Disciple, and I've read the book of Acts before, but actually for me it was really helpful to read it like this again. And basically each kind of story or each chapter in the book of Acts was kind of written or contained as a little diary entry. And that's essentially what the book of Acts is. It's the diary of a disciple called Luke. And it's actually the second diary that he had written, because we have the Gospel of Luke, and this is his second letter, where he had written eyewitness accounts of what he had seen Jesus do and hear in the Gospel of Luke. And now in the book of Acts, it's Luke sharing what he had seen and what he had done now in the story of the early church. And Luke is a doctor, and so that brings a sense of, or that brought with it a sense of credibility and trustworthiness to this account. But this is a book of witness. It's an eyewitness sharing of what he has seen, and also a book of stories of where lots of apostles and disciples are being witnesses to what they had known and seen of Jesus. And this series that we're thinking about together over the next few weeks and months is called The Church on the Move, where we see how God worked through the church to help it to move into different spheres in a difficult and challenging time. But the story starts by Jesus shifting the disciples' mindset from what they might have expected. It begins with Jesus giving them a kingdom vision. Because here, right at the start, Acts chapter 1, right at the start, the disciples would have been ready to go forward. As I said, they've seen Jesus rise from the dead, and they have an expectation of what's going to happen next. They assume that Jesus is going to lead them forward, and they're going to follow in his wake, and he's going to take control of the city of Jerusalem, and they're going to be able to establish a fresh rule and reign in that city with the kingdom of God. And they thought, and actually what they thought became clear in verse 6, because it sounds really bizarre to us, but the disciples asked Jesus this really strange question. They say in verse 6, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? In other words, their focus on what Jesus was going to do was that it would restore their country, their kingdom. But Jesus' focus was on something much larger and broader and much more expansive than that. The disciples couldn't conceive of how Jesus would take them beyond their current circumstances. They only saw what was in front of them, but Jesus wanted to give them a kingdom vision. To put it a different way, they were focused in Italy. Jesus wanted to lead them to Holland. They were thinking about a single location, but Jesus wanted them to see the whole world. He was expanding their vision. And the question, this question the disciples ask almost show how little they grasp of God's kingdom. You know, Jesus, are you going to restore things now? Are you going to, you know, with the kingdom of Israel, is it still going to be at the center of things? They were thinking with a kind of political or an earthly mindset, a territorial one. But Jesus wasn't just going to make life more convenient for them or match up with their political preferences. And there's a danger whenever disciples do that. And we attach our own preferences, earthly preferences, onto Jesus. We assume that Jesus is going to validate our own particular allegiances. But the movement of Jesus and the kingdom of God is not primarily a territorial or a political one, at least not in the way we understand it. And Jesus was giving his disciples a kingdom vision instead of an earthly mindset. And there's all sorts of ways we have an earthly mindset at times. Maybe it's easy to get caught up with our career or with the crowd or with our culture rather than seeing things through the lens of Christ. We focus on achievement and accomplishment when Jesus thinks about things that are in a very different way. Open up my eyes to the things unseen, we sing here in church. And that's a brilliant prayer in these days. We need a kingdom vision. Jesus offers his disciples a kingdom vision to see things like he does. But even more significantly, the disciples were focused on a specific geographical location, but Jesus wanted to give them a companion for their journey. Verse 8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And so this promised and powerful companion was going to lead the disciples wider in their mission. They couldn't do it alone. And it's vital, it's so important that we don't miss that, ignore that, or gloss over that. Jesus knew that the things that he was asking the disciples to do wasn't going to be possible in their own strength. And so he tells them not to go charging off. He says, wait, don't leave Jerusalem. Stay where you are and wait for the gift that I've promised because you need it. They couldn't do it alone. And they would receive power from the Holy Spirit to be his witnesses. They were to be dependent on the Holy Spirit for the work that God had called them to do. And you know, we've been given a companion in the Holy Spirit to help us in our life, to help us in Jesus' mission. And you know, as we move out again in our post-COVID world, we can have the assurance that Jesus is with us. If you're in Christ, the Holy Spirit is with you. We shouldn't neglect him or ignore him or go without him. He's our source of power. And we're going to think about this more in a couple of weeks' time in the next part of our series, in a couple of weeks as we step into chapter 2 of Acts. But for now, just consider how we could move from being reliant on our own abilities and perspectives to seeking God's help. I've been guilty of that so often in the past. And I know I need to depend on the consistent and constant power of the Holy Spirit in my life. So we have an expanded vision, a kind of kingdom vision that Jesus wants to give with a powerful companion. But also then thirdly, Jesus was broadening their vision. Because where was the mission to take place? He said initially, stay in Jerusalem, don't leave Jerusalem. But then he went on to broaden it. He said that they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, but also in Judea and Samaria and then to the ends of the whole earth. You see, while the disciples were asking Jesus about the territory of Israel, Jesus blew it out of the water by saying that his kingdom wouldn't just unfold in their tiny little region, but also throughout the whole of Judea, then to their neighbors in Samaria, and that would particularly blow their mind, by the way, and then to the ends of the earth. Jesus was taking them wider than they could ever have imagined. And what happens next through the story of Acts, and we're going to see this, is the unfolding story of the gospel changing people's lives in each of the locations and in that order. You could say that this verse, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, is the key to what Luke is actually writing about throughout the entire book. Because in one verse, he reminds us that Jesus devolved his work to the disciples and then sent them to Jerusalem, to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I don't know if you know this, but Acts is almost perfectly divided up into those sections that show the expanding of the gospel in those areas. And it's one single verse captures the whole story. So from chapters 1 to 7 in Acts, the story takes place in Jerusalem. Peter preaches to a crowd. He and John heal a lame man at the temple gates. The apostles are brought before the religious leaders. They organize the church. Stephen becomes the first martyr, all in the context of the city of Jerusalem. Verse 7 in chapter 6 tells us that the word of God continued to increase and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. In other words, the start of Acts, it's a local story. It starts where they were. And then right at the start of chapter 8, there's a dramatic occurrence that suddenly takes place, a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they are all scattered then. The disciples are scattered throughout. Where are they scattered to? They're scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. And so it's the beginning of this expansion. Difficulty and persecution scatter the church, and the story of Acts now shifts away from Jerusalem onto Judea and Samaria. And only a few verses, within a few verses, we see Philip proclaiming Christ in Samaria. Many Samaritans come into faith. And by the end of chapter 8, so within one chapter, Philip is baptizing a royal official. Where is he from? Ethiopia. Within one chapter, we're seeing the unfolding story of this verse. And then Acts chapter 8 to 13 is the kind of story of the expansion of the gospel in Judea and Samaria. And then enter the Apostle Paul. God takes a dramatic journey, beginning on a road to Damascus in Syria, and ultimately then moving him throughout modern-day Greece and across the entire Roman Empire, and ending in Rome itself. The book of Acts is a church on the move. The book of Acts is the unfolding story of God's unstoppable mission from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And we're going to explore some of this story together over the next few weeks. But for this morning, I would just want to dwell on this promise. This promise of Jesus that we would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Because in this, we see the call to start where we are. We see the call to start where we are and then to be part of God's outward move and mission to the world. the location, Jesus is saying, can be anywhere and everywhere. Your witness, Jesus is saying, is to begin at home, but also he wants to empower us to be his followers to wherever our feet may take us to. I want you to see this morning that there are no boundaries, there are no borders, and there are no barriers to how God might want to work in and through our lives. There's nowhere off limits. There's no person beyond the reach of God. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, the whole earth belongs to the Lord and everything in it. Try and think of something that might be outside that sentence. The whole earth belongs to the Lord and everything in it. Or to quote the Dutch theologian Abraham Kuyper, he says that there is not a square inch of the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. Jesus wants to lay claim, not just in a little portion or part of our lives. He who is sovereign over all wants to come and declare over our lives and over our communities, mine. He wants it to be his. He's on a mission to make all things new, from politics to education, from business to entertainment. His burning desire is to bring restoration to people, every person and every sphere of society. And you know, we're a church located in Carnmoney and in Newton Abbey, and it's vital we maintain a local imprint and have a vision to serve God in the place and among the people that we find ourselves. The call is to start where we are. How might he want to use us in our homes or in our families or in our neighborhood or in our workplaces and in this community? He wants to equip every single one of us to be his witnesses where we find ourselves. But he also wants to expand our vision. And he wants us to see beyond our current circumstances. And he also wants to realize that our lives aren't restricted by, or sorry, his witness and our witness isn't restricted by borders or boundaries or barriers, because God could literally take us anywhere and do anything through our lives. And I know that maybe for some of us this morning, that might seem difficult for us to believe, maybe because of your current circumstances, or you feel maybe kind of restricted in your life right now because of because of present circumstances. But it's so important to develop a trust in a God who has a vision beyond what we can currently see. The kingdom of God is an outward moving mission, and he could literally do anything in our lives or through our lives. You know, I meet many young Christians and have met many young Christians who are also often desperate to know where they're going to end up in 10 years' time. You know, it's a focus of a conversation. What's God's will for my life? What should I do? Where will I be? And it's a useful conversation at times, but I try to encourage them not to be so focused on their destination that they ignore their current direction. Don't be so focused on, fixed on your future destination that you ignore your current direction, because we can't be clear about our location. We can't always be clear about our future. That's unknown. But what is the direction of our life? We can pay attention to that. Not our destination, but our direction. Because it's actually the direction of our lives as we submit to Jesus, as we follow him, as we embrace the gift and the companionship of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that actually will determine our destination. I think of my friends, Stuart and Abby. Stuart did a year-long apprenticeship in a church in London straight after university. Abby was in the final year of her degree. And they were both planning to get married to each other. And they were invited to consider going to Malaysia for a year, kind of gap year, to be part of a team planting a church in Kuala Lumpur. They decided that this was a kind of exciting opportunity, and they jumped on board. Fast forward 8 years, they're both still living there. They're leading significant aspects of a growing and flourishing church. It's an HTB church plant in the city of Kuala Lumpur. And they're involved in leading beyond that too. Beyond that, Stuart heads up the work of Worship Central across the whole of Southeast Asia now. And they're both going through the process to become Anglican ministers there. They both grew up and met each other in a small Baptist church in Ballymena. God could do anything with your lives. And then there's Caitlin. Caitlin, who goes on an Exodus team to Africa 10 years ago and falls in love, not always recommended on a mission team, by the way, but falls in love not just with the area that she visits, but with the oldest son of the pastor's family. And after a second visit later that year, they establish a relationship. And fast forward a decade, Caitlin and Roy are now happily married and living together in Uganda. And Caitlin now is the principal of a newly established school in Uganda. And her family back home have been able to establish an incredible fundraising arm for their ministry. God could take you anywhere. She didn't dream it up. It wasn't her career plan. But when we put our lives into the hands of God, he can do anything with us. And, you know, it's not just big and global and overseas. But on Friday night, I sat in the church coffee bar with some of our young adults in church, and I listened to the story of someone from this church family who talked about how in his life he wasn't scared of police or paramilitaries, but yet 3 years ago had a significant encounter with Jesus, and the direction of his life significantly altered. And now he's sharing his faith in his workplace and his football team and this community and inviting people to Alpha. The direction of his life has significantly changed. God could do anything. And add to that stories in this community of people who've been stuck in debt and are now debt-free. Those who were once cynical about God and now leading significant aspects of the work of the church. Never underestimate what God could do with you. Don't be limited by your present circumstances. Like the disciples, don't just see how your present circumstances, but actually consider how God and Jesus wants to lead you wider. This series is called Church on the Move because it's a vibrant story of how the gospel spread and the Spirit moved and the church grew across the world at this time, at that time. That no matter the difficulty or the darkness or the doubt of that it didn't stop or pause the work of the gospel in the early church. And I'd love us as we go through this series to see how this church, that we could be a people of God on the move as well, of how God could lead us forward. The kingdom of God has no borders, no boundaries, and no barriers. And so my simple invitation or challenge is for us to develop a kingdom vision, to rely on the companionship of the Holy Spirit and to broaden our vision to allow Jesus to do that in our lives. That's the starting point for a church on the move. And as I prepared this, just that line I felt that the Holy Spirit drew my attention to was no borders, no boundaries, no barriers. I don't know what that might mean for some of you today, but it's my prayer that God would take you beyond where you are now from your current circumstances for you to see him, to align your direction with him and to become his witnesses. Maybe that just starts by really simply taking steps, small steps, to say yes to Jesus wherever you are and for whatever he has for you. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior, and I will call upon your name. Keep my eyes above the waves. My soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you are mine. Let's pray. Maybe you might just want to reflect on that idea of how God might be wanting to expand your vision and how you could trust him and see Jesus beyond your current circumstances. I'm just going to use those lines of that song, Oceans, as our prayer before we sing again. Spirit, lead us where our trust is without borders. Take us deeper, God, than our feet could ever wander. And would you help our faith to be made stronger in the presence of you, our Savior. Help us to call upon your name. Keep our eyes above the waves. And would our lives and our soul rest in your embrace as we know and trust that we are yours and you are. Help us to be a church and a people on the move, God, as we trust our lives into your hands and in your care. Help us to be part of your outward moving mission as we place our lives in your hands.